I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. The Rocky Mountains, certainly part of the gorgeous landscape of the United States of America and critical to the ecosystem of the West, the Western rivers. The Rocky Mountains, it snows in the wintertime, then comes the spring thaw, and the melt and the rivers flow and the valleys fill up, and it is beautiful again. The question is it eternal? The Rockies of today, are they forever? Well, of course not, but how are they changing? How dramatically so? And what does this mean for the Western development and the cities that have already been built there? Sid Perkins reports on earth sciences and paleoclimatology and paleohistory for science and science now. And there's a new study, actually a series of studies, observing the snowpack of the Rocky Mountains that tells us we're in a period of what you'd have to say is rapid change, and it can be not for the best. Sid, a very good evening to you. Gregory Peterson is a paleoclimatologist from the U.S. Geological Survey in Montana, and he and his colleagues have studied tree ring records. What is the significance of the results that they found, Sid?
What they did was they took 66 different tree ring records from everywhere from southern British Columbia all the way down to northern Arizona, which covers the headwaters of three major river basins in the West, the Columbia, the Missouri, and the Colorado. And what they found is that in the past, particularly before 1980, there was this seesaw effect of snowpack, which is essentially the amount of snow that piles up over the winter. In the northern Rockies, which is pretty much Wyoming and northward, you would have the opposite pattern of what you would get in the Colorado and southern Rockies southward. And essentially what you would have is the El Nino and other climate patterns would steer the weather storm systems either further to the north or further to the south. People are kind of familiar with what this does to various areas of the country now. You can get one thing in one part of the country and another in another. Well, in terms of the snowpack, they had this seesaw effect, and that started to break down around 1980 and coming forward. And what they're looking at is that the effect of temperature and the long-term warming is combining with these decadal climate cycles to decrease the snowpack everywhere. And what's really happened in the past is that the northern Rockies, which are a little bit lower in elevation and about 3 degrees warmer, had substantial declines in snowpack that hadn't been seen in the south. And then since 1980, the general pattern has been snowpack is down everywhere. And this is, you know, really affecting, as you said earlier, the timing and the amount of the runoff.
Right. 70 million people live in areas affected by these three large rivers, Columbia, Colorado, and Missouri. So this is a sizable part of the political base of the United States of America, and its economic advantages or not, depending on how we're going. You mentioned in the piece, Sid, that they're looking at a period of 800 years, and three extended intervals in those 800 years have shown low snowpacks. So there does that suggest we have a cyclical effect here, that this isn't immediately being forced by the climate, or is there force evident in the tree rings?
What they're seeing, again, you know, if you look at the 1980 and forward period, you do get low snowpacks, and there are times in the past when you have had
low snowpacks
as well. And these were during periods what you'd call maybe the medieval warming period and other periods where climate cycles were just so, and they added up to give you you know, the very low snowpack.
The 14th century, there was a 30-year period, and in the 16th century, there was a 20-year period that is comparable to what they're seeing now.
There was, yes. And again, what they're looking at now is something that is comparably low in snowpack, and they're kind of attributing this to the changes in the climate cycles, well as that long-term warming kind of superimposed together.
All right, and all three are showing this. Now, the question is, if that's already in place, how does this affect the development in the area? It sounds like there's a freak of nature here that the United States just happened to have been settled at a period of good snowpack, not poor snowpack.
Exactly right. Much of the West, and particularly the American Southwest, people were moving into that area and settling and, you know, divvying up water supply during these water rights agreements between and among the states. At one of the high flow, high precipitation times, so they were essentially dividing up the supply in a time of plenty. And now that you're moving, you know, possibly into a normal or less than normal precipitation situation, you know, there's big problems with you know, water rights and those sorts of things. And again, when people moved out into this area, they were, you know, setting up their lifestyle. Their farming is set up on a certain way. You know, the ecosystems that have been there for millennia are set up with a certain amount of, you know, snowpack and then melting profile. And there's fundamental changes to what's going on there. If you have, you know, the water of precipitation hitting the mountains as water and then running away immediately rather than being stored in what many people call nature's water towers, you essentially do not have water in the rivers when, you know, farmers are used to having it, when ecosystems need it. And, you know, it's already passed by the time the, you know, the spring and summer high demand season is there. So you've either got to, you know, collect it in a reservoir and pump it back upstream, which takes pipes and infrastructure and energy and all these, or you know, you look for water from another source, or you simply change your behavior.
And also there's the question of fire and wildfire. I'm speaking with Sid Perkins, who writes for Science Magazine on Earth Sciences. And Sid, right now, I just want to entertain the possibility that we're in a cycle that can reverse itself with a heavy snowpack. Can that be ruled out?
Well, no. Over the long term, they have seen these fluctuations in cycles, and you have high periods and you have low periods, and the one that's going on now seems to be particularly bad because of, you know, changes in the climate cycle superimposed with,
but
you know,
that doesn't mean it can't be reversed by the weather patterns.
It doesn't mean that you can't go back to normal or indeed have a you know, better than average snowpack or pattern. You know, I've heard some people talk about, you know, since I've written this article, that this year is one where you've got a particularly high snowpack in part of the Rockies.
And at this point, with this evidence, are they still compiling information? I mean, we've had tree ring questions in the past. You know that very well, writing
sure
on paleoclimatology, that it doesn't sound like a fixed warrant. Are there other investigations? Do they have, for example, the ability to drill into ice the way they do in the Arctics to find patterns?
Well, there is not really any permanent ice up and down, you know, the Rockies. As a matter of fact, one of the largest reservoirs of permanent ice has been Glacier National Park, and those are disappearing rapidly. So they're down to only something like 25 or so glaciers there. But what this study has done is, you know, there are, you know, you can throw darts at any particular study of tree rings, but what these guys have done is they've looked at a number of species, they've looked at a broad area, and the patterns that they're seeing there are consistent with what people have seen in the instrumental record since people started keeping records in the last century. So they feel that the information they've got over these three river basins from, you know, essentially Canada to northern Arizona are a good reflection of what the climate in the past has been like.
Sid, the question of the Colorado River, that enters into international affairs too, right? That flows down into Mexico. So we're
does, yes. As a matter of fact, over, you know, a fair number of years, the flow coming out of the Colorado, you know, through the Mexican border there and down to the Gulf of California has only been about 5% of what it has traditionally been in the past, and that is pretty much, again, only released to you know, accommodate those water agreements. It's, you know, it would be a river that would run dry because essentially people north of the border would, you know, suck every drop out for irrigation and other uses.
And Los Angeles would be affected because it depends on the reservoirs bringing a water into an overdeveloped part of the desert as it is. So at this point, are we anywhere near the bottom of the cycle? Could they give us that, Sid, or is it continuing to decline?
I think that what they're seeing, I mean, they again, this year is an odd, you know, high snowpack year. But, you know, for the pattern that they've seen in recent years, it has been consistently lower than normal. And, you know, it's not to say that it couldn't turn around and bounce back. But, you know, evidence so far is that, you know, you've got these climate cycles that are being reinforced by you know, increasing amounts of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and the long-term warming that that brings. So, you know, you could swing back to, you know, above-average snowpacks, but it would be tougher to do so the more warming you have.
Sid Perkins writing on Earth Science for the Science magazine. This is available online for free, unlike some of the parts of the Science magazine studies. And right now, the picture in the West for 70 million people and Mexico, as well as many states affected by the Colorado River, is declining snowpack, and that means doing with less water each spring and summer. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show.